Ala Queers, welcome to Movies Ala Queer. This is Sarita Ramirez. Thank you so much for joining me today. Let me just take a quick time to thank all of you guys who have been listening to my podcast for this whole year. We make a year in February, but thank you so much again to those that have been listening till now and who have stayed by my side and have retweeted and have been so supportive. I also wanted to thank the Lesbian Lounge as well as Lauren Ligi, who was my co-host. I wanted to thank my girlfriend, Danielle Magna, and I want to thank those that have been very supportive thus far. And I know that we're going to keep going on because Movies Ala Queer is not just about the movies, but it's about our own queer life. So thank you so much and how excited I am to talk about this film. I am going to bring you Concussion. Now, Concussion was a film that I watched at the end of the summer last year. I want to say around August, I think, I watched the film through the lovely connections of Curve Magazine. Thank you. And I wanted to take a little time before reviewing it because I know that this film takes a lot of different points, a lot of different viewpoints with just one main character, but she is going through a lot. And definitely not being in that age range, mind you, she's like in her mid-40s or early 40s, but I didn't want to just assume and say, yeah, I watched the film once and just boom out a review like I did with Blue is the Warmest Color. I felt like in Blue, I was able to connect and relate to these characters because they are in their early 20s and they're going through their post-college lifestyles and they're going through those hardships of a relationship, which I can, you know, somewhat relate to and understand. But, you know, Concussion deals with women in a marriage setting, in a suburban life household, and I didn't want to just assume that I knew about them. So I took my own time and I decided to watch it again. So I'm reviewing this freshly out of watching the film. And if you guys want to watch this film and haven't watched it yet, I do have the link for the Wolf Video On Demand, which does have Concussion on its listing. And you can rent it for about $3 or you can own it for a little more than that. But I do recommend you guys to watch it. It's definitely one of the favorite films of this year, and not just queer-wise, but definitely in film-wise, because it was a film that really, really touched me and just different, like, psychologically in a way, and I'll definitely explain it. But what is Concussion? Concussion is a 2013 film. It was written and directed by Stacey Payson, and it stars Robin Weigert, Julie Fane Lawrence, and Maggie Siff, along with another awesome cast that's just many, many down below. And again, I will put the IMDb source of that film. And what is it about? It's about an oppressed lesbian housewife, Abby, who is played by Robin Weigert, and she decides to return to work as an interior designer after living her idle, middle-aged lesbian bed death marriage with her wife Kate, played by Julie Fane Lawrence. Now, in this experience, while she returns to work, she falls into the hiddenly interesting but full of taboo side job as an extravagant, high-paid hooker in, better yet, New York City. Let's take a look.
From my town, sitting waiting for me?
I didn't know that she was from your town.
Who's Eleanor? And why did he say you don't discipline? All these
high. We sometimes have to manage expectations.
When I woke up this morning, I thought, Pilates? Or a soy tea latte in the city with Eleanor? Pull my hair. To the cold ground. I'm not stalking you, I swear. Feel lost in the muted life of this town. Hey.
We're gonna have a little secret.
I'm okay with that.
You don't have to do this anymore. It's just not you.
Something has to be me by now.
Now, this film was very powerful in a lot of different formats, but just like I like to, you know, begin all of my film reviews, we're going to do with the categories. So the first category is from straight to gay. Honestly, I didn't think this film was really that anything to do with straight to gay, except the different women that were her clients as she was working as an escort. And honestly, there were a lot of straight women, quote unquote straight women, but definitely you're not too straight if you're with a lesbian, just saying. As far as twingy tension, I have to, oh my gosh, Robin Weigert, you are hot. I don't even know how to even start, and I doubt you'll be listening to this podcast, but if you ever run into this podcast, you are one of the most attractive actresses I have ever seen in my life. And it's not even just about the looks. I feel like it's just a mix of your voice and your walk in the film, and just I found you to be, I think, the biggest twingy tensioned end in the whole film, and my whole experience watching this film the first and definitely the second time. And another part of the film that I really felt that tensed my twinge was definitely with Maggie Siff, and just the chemistry that Robin Weigert has with her. And mind you, Maggie is just beautiful. She has all sorts of beautiful face, beautiful contours, her eyebrows. Just like, she's like that beautiful, simplistic beauty that you've seen. You're just like, wow, like, she's so gorgeous. And I felt like they just had a really nice connection in the film and the chemistry. And it's like this sly, I don't know, I just felt like it was hot. There's something about housewives that are, or oppressed housewives and bored housewives, that this film kind of shows. And it just gives you, it just makes them a little bit more attractive, you know, instead of what we see on TV as like the Real Housewives of God knows where. As far as my real lay versus movie lay. Now, there's so many lays in this film, and there's different types of lays. There's a lot of sex scenes, not as explicit as Blue is the Warmest Color, definitely not. I think that this film was very smart about how to display these sex scenes, because it does deal with escort. You know, it does deal with the prostitute, it deals with a sex worker, and yet they were able to kind of show these scenes and definitely do the opposite of what could, you know, gross people out, if anything, because it was because Abby is playing, because she is an escort in New York City, but definitely a very high paying, you know, very exclusive escort. It was very classy. It's almost like these were just her lovers. These weren't even just her clients. Like, she was able to just take these in and just like, and teach them new ways. Like, she deals with like younger girls who, if they've not have ever been kissed or haven't ever slept with both man or woman, she deals with like younger girls who are just at, you know, kind of out of control and very like aggressive in the city. And yet there's a way that the film was made that it kind of made you be okay with it. Like, it was kind of admirable in a way. I felt like the lays were very real. I felt like there was especially one, not really I would consider a lay, but in the beginning of the film, you see how Abby is trying to connect with her wife, Kate, in bed, and they're both asleep, or Kate, better yet, is asleep, and Abby is kind of trying to get her attention, and it's very awkward. And it's, I don't know, I feel like it's very honest. I feel like it's very honest. I feel like a lot of the sex scenes in here are just very honest, especially with the reactions within it, or the reactions post or pre it. I feel like if I were Abby, or if I were one of her clients, or just someone, a spectator on the side just watching, I would react the same way that they did. I felt like it was very real. Crockpot of queso. Gosh, what did I find in this film that was just cheesy beyond belief? Well, I have to say, I didn't find anything. I thought that it was pretty much real. If anything, I just found the suburban mothers, you know, housewife friends of them to be sort of annoying. But then again, you somewhat may know that one friend of yours, or that couple friends of yours that are just, they feel more connected than you can ever connect to them. Like, they'll just talk about these irrelevant, or better yet, irrelevant to you, factors of their life, whether it's like furniture shopping, or damn, like, I really wanted to buy these shoes, but they were so expensive, or, but I didn't really like this color on me. I thought that it was better to have a different color. And you kind of know those friends that when they do tell you these things, you're kind of like, oh, like, I just don't give a fuck. But then again, they're your friends, so you want to be supportive. You don't want to lose the only friends that you have. And you kind of look around and you see, well, I think all of my friends are this way. I feel like that was somewhat a little bit cheesy, but it's so real. Again, it's very honest that people go through this, whether it's in any type of middle-aged or young adult or older senior. I feel like, you know, we sometimes feel a little bit lost within our friends, connecting to our friends, definitely. It hit home for me. Definitely the oppression, the depression that Abby goes through. Mind you, there's many, many times throughout the film that you know that she is an oppressed housewife. And it's, you know, you can tell from the beginning to the end of the film that it's, if it's whether with her friends or when she is, you know, with her children, or if she is just like on her Pilates class, like on that cycling class, I forgot what it's called. And they're on those bikes, which I definitely want to try because it looks like it works your ass to the core. Definitely when she's in those classes and she's surrounded by her friends and her friends are just telling her these things that are, you know, you can feel that she just feels somewhat oppressed. And it's, you know, like everyone else just looks happier, and whether it's true that they're happy or not, they just seem happier and seem more content in their lives. And here you have this woman who has kind of conformed to being the housewife to take care of the children because, you know, because her wife is, I guess, the lawyer, or she works for, you know, like a firm. She decides, you know what, I will decide to stay home with the kids. But in the beginning of the film, and this is not a spoiler, in the beginning of the film, one of her kids, the boy, he hits her with the ball in the face accidentally, of course. I doubt it was on purpose. And she starts bleeding. And in the car, you see her like saying, like, I don't want to do this anymore. I hate this. I don't want to do this anymore. And even her wife looks at her, and it's almost kind of like they can't say anything because, you know, she's hurt. She's bleeding. Her face is like swollen and gross. And yet she keeps repeating, like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And in the hospital, in the waiting room, you know, she tells her wife, she turns to Kate and she says, I'm going to go back to work. You know, I am this time. Which kind of gives you an idea that she has wanted to go back to work before, but she couldn't, whether it was because the kids were too young or because she felt bad and at the end she felt remorseful for leaving the kids behind. But no, like I think that if it's important, if you feel this type of oppression in your life, it's important to go back to doing what you love or you'll lose yourself. And I think that that's kind of what happened to Abby. She, in some way or form, she lost herself in this lifestyle, in this housewife lifestyle, and with these, you know, upper middle class people. And once she went back to working, she kind of, I don't know, in a way, she kind of found herself, or she kind of found what she liked to do. And it may seem like it was wrapped around sex at first, because that is what she, one of the biggest things she was oppressed of is sex from her wife. But I feel like she also found like a personality. Like you saw, you know, from the beginning of the film to the middle of the film, her change in wardrobe. She got a little bit more confident in herself, a little sexier. Now, mind you, Abby was, you know, has been active the entire film, and she's been sexy and toned and all that stuff. But I feel like it, like the subtle changes in her hairstyle and her makeup, like she was more coiffed and more, I don't know, like more sultry. And you as an audience member, and me definitely as an audience member, I got to see that in both times. And I think it was more relevant in the second time I saw this film. Honestly, this film was great. Any final thoughts on it? I would say that this film was definitely one that I do not regret not reviewing immediately when I first saw it. Just like I mentioned before, I wanted to see it again. It's great. It's very honest. You are not bored in this film. I was not bored in this film. I got to see a different side of these actors. Like, these actresses are amazing. And even the only significant male part, but the male actor in here, and I will quickly get his name because I should know his name by now. Jonathan Tchaikovsky, I really hope I'm saying that right, who plays Justin, who plays the kind of pimp, the setter up, the guy, who is also like the accompanying interior designer to Abby. I feel like he was also really good. He was kind of like, he wasn't whitewashed or he wasn't invisible, but he kind of played his part the way he should have been. Like, I can't see him more involved or less involved in a film. I felt like he did really well. Honestly, this film was great. I'm giving it a 4.7. I found it almost to be perfect. My only complaint of this film would be sometimes the dialogue goes a little dry. Especially there was a dinner party with all the friends, and they were all sitting down and they're all drinking and they're all having a good time, but you aren't able to see if Abby is completely delighted or if she is, you know, completely miserable. It's almost a mix, and of course this is subjective. Maybe you'll think that, yeah, it's completely normal to have a dinner party with your friends and kind of act very happy with your spouse, like everyone else was acting happy with their spouse. But then at the same time, you know, I guess because I don't really relate to that portion of the film or that part of life yet, I kind of felt like the dialogue that they used when they were interacting with each other kind of off and weird. But I did like it. Again, I rated it a 4.7. It is definitely a great film. If you haven't watched it, you can definitely check out wolfondemand.movies.com. So my question to you guys, since I haven't posed a question in a very long time in my podcasts, but my question to you would be, now I'm not condoning infidelity. I'm definitely not condoning being a prostitute, even though I honestly don't care what you do as long as you do something that makes you happy. And in this case, it made Abby happy, at least momentarily. But my question to you guys is, what would you want your first client to be? In this film, it's again, not trying to be a spoiler, but in this film, her first client was a younger girl who goes to NYU, who was never with anyone, who has never been kissed and who's never had sex before, or doesn't even know what her vagina looks like. So tell me, what is your first client wishes? And just think about it. You can even tweet it if you like at Movies a la Queer. Again, this is Sarita Ramirez. Thank you for taking the time with me. I'll definitely have all the links to both the trailer as well as where to see this movie, how to see this movie. I'll have the Wolf on Demand link on down below. Again, you can review, see this film, and you can watch it and rent it for about $3 or $4. And you can definitely let me know what you thought about it, if you agree or disagree, or if you love it, or if you hate it. Again, you have my email address at moviesalaqueer@gmail.com, and you can also get me on Twitter at moviesalaqueer. Thank you very much, guys, and as always, thank you for listening. Bye.